play action fake. Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman! McCole Hardman! A back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs!
Hey, actually, it worked this time. Hello and welcome to another Arrowheads Abroad podcast. We've had technical issue upon technical issue this evening, but we're finally here. It's myself, Neil. I'm joined by my partner in crime, Tomo. Tomo, how are you, my man?
I'm good, thank you. Your camera, it's come back. It's all good. I was going to say, who'd have thought that you'd need to be signed into Skype to use Skype, eh?
But, I mean, you don't need to sign into Skype because, you could just log in as a guest. And I don't know why Skype suddenly decided that it wanted me to sign in to start recording when I thought I was already signed in because I was using it. Hey, here we are.
Who'd have thought it, eh?
Miracles of modern technology. So how's your off-season treating you, Tomo? Are you doing well? It's been, what, four weeks since we last did one of these?
Yeah, something like that. I like this period of the year because you're basking in Super Bowl glory, but at the same time, there's absolutely no stress to anything that's really going on. I like the free agency period to kind of, especially with how the Chiefs dealt with it, getting the wide receiver, that put me in a good mood. And then now it's kind of like the build up to the draft. And then after the draft, it just bottoms out and there's just nothingness for months, which is rubbish. I always thought this, right, Neil? I always thought the NFL would be interesting if the draft was before free agency.
Okay. I'd never thought of that before. Go on.
I just think that would be interesting where you draft your players and then you go, oh, I didn't quite get this guy in the draft, so now I can look at all the free agents. And then I feel like that would make some of the free agents more valuable and then some of the free agents less valuable. But what difference is that to what we've got now? There's probably a reason. I just find it interesting.
No, well, you remember when we were talking to Randy before the Super Bowl, and he was saying like GMs would have their draft board set before free agency starts. And you would have an idea of what you could get where in the draft, and then that would influence what you then did in free agency. You're almost trying to preemptively fill holes that you think you're going to have after the draft, before the draft, if that makes sense.
Be intrigued what you think about it. I'm not going to the owners' meeting, pounding the table for draft before free agency, but just an interesting thought, really.
Would it be a better idea than the kickoff changes? The kickoff changes, I don't think I hate the idea. Like, kickoff was non-existent. Like, nothing. They never did anything with them. It's just kick it out the back of the end zone and start from the 25. So,
yeah.
Something different.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I haven't really watched a fat lot of the XFL when it was first done. I kind of watched like the first 2 weeks. And there was a few good quirky rules in there. And to be honest, I'd totally forgotten that this was how they kicked off in the XFL. But, you know, you've seen the example clips come out now over social media.
Yeah.
Looks quite good.
Yeah.
Looks quite good. I mean, and there's some skill in kicking it in the right. I mean, the Chiefs have got Butker does our kick, so you'd have thought he'd be fine landing it between there and there, and you know, and then you just bring in more skills into the game as well, which I quite like. Like you've got the returners are going to now be more valuable, and then you're going to have the kickers are going to have some skill about it as well. So I wonder
how it's going to change the rosters in that. Are you looking for different skill sets now for special teams? Because
it literally might keep Kadarius Toney on the roster.
Well, that is one thought I had. But like, are you looking for like better blockers when you're returning the kick? Like, is that are you going to keep like an I don't know. Who I don't know what positions they put out there to block. I assume there's some offensive linemen out there. Are you going to, you know, put backup offensive linemen out there on kick returns? I don't know.
What I find quite interesting is because I can't remember for a fact, but I'm sure you have two guys between the goal line and the 20, and then you have your blockers lined up on the 40. So something to that effect, anyway. But I think it's going to be really interesting because going off what you're saying about who do you have blocking, you can also start these laterals as well. So you could get kicked to one guy, then your whole team could run to the left. You throw it to the left, from the right to the left. There's just all sorts of different possibilities. So I don't think it'll change much this year because I think people will be learning it and trying to find how they can take advantage. And then maybe next year you start to go, okay, well, maybe we should get this guy.
If I'm Dave Taube, I am watching all the XFL kickoffs now.
I imagine they all are, yeah.
And just seeing, right, what did they do? What worked? What didn't work?
But this is like, what? You know, we got like Tyreek Hill as a rookie and he was on kick returns. This is like a dream for him. Like, if you can find a developmental wide receiver that you can get on the field and get reps in this way, it's not a bad thing. Maybe running backs as well, I don't know.
Well, I was about to say that it's more a kind of like a big run play now than anything else. Like, it's a different skill set for the returner because you're kind of like running a wide zone run rather than like a wide receiver running around and trying to get open kind of thing. So I would have thought it makes your running back slightly more
useful,
valuable, possibly.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to benefit. Personally, I think we've got the perfect guy for it and people won't like it, but I think Kadarius Toney's perfect for it. Short area quickness, juke a guy out and you're gone, sort of.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, you know. We've seen him do it before, to be totally honest, in punt return. So if you think about that Super Bowl punt return, that's pretty much the exact same scenario.
Yes.
As a kickoff. So no reason to not give him a go at it.
Yeah, I mean, you gain nothing by cutting Tony, do you? Like, cap wise, there's nothing of any benefit. So
I'm still probably the only person that actually thinks that he's got something that the Chiefs could use. I personally still do think that he's a use to the Chiefs, and I think he was stitched up a little bit. He did it to himself, didn't he? But
yeah.
I think his confidence gone weak. I think his confidence was shot after week one. He was thrust into. He didn't have any training camp. Remember.
Mm-hmm, true.
He was the year before he was traded mid-season. Then he didn't have a training camp. He was forced to play because Kelce was injured the first day before the game. He was rushed back to play because we needed another weapon because we didn't sort our wide receiver room out last year. And we had rookie Rashee Rice, who we didn't even know was a thing yet. So he got thrust into a position. He was so rusty that game. And I think his confidence was just shot. And you think, how long's training camp and all those? He just, for him to get that amount of reps that you'd get in training camp, probably took him to like week 10 and his confidence had gone. So I just think, get him a training camp. You put him in that Mecole Hardman role with all the gadgets he plays and see what happens. You put him on kick.
You mean we're not bringing Mecole back?
We'll bring him back.
Super Bowl. Touchdown.
We'll see you week 10.
Touchdown. Mecole Hardman.
Who then proceeded to just go on the weirdest media tour I've ever seen. Like, how he became the hero for catching a pass that I think I'd be wide open on. it's just hilarious. That I'd be open for a different reason because I didn't think they needed to cover me. But I actually do think I'd catch that pass.
How many times have we said Andy could scheme us open?
Yeah.
How many times on this podcast have we said that? Loads.
I just find it hilarious how he went on all the talk shows and in the most Mecole way ever. He was like, I didn't really know what happened. Yeah, Mecole, we know. That's what happens every play. You don't really know what happened. I just
turned up there.
It's just
he's still
so
available.
Funny. Yeah. He's still available. And then proceeded to kind of chat a load of waffle about the Jets, which just seemed unnecessary. He was really feeling himself for about a week there. And then his agent
was a hero.
Rang...
He was a fucking hero.
His agents probably rang him and gone, that's cool if you don't really want to play again. But like, so you haven't got a team at the moment. I'm not sure the Chiefs really want you back all that much. I don't think they wanted him back last year all that much either.
Go out on a high. I'd retire if I were him. What's he won? Two? Has he won three Super Bowls with us or two?
He's got to have won three. It's got to be...
He was here for... Yeah, he was here for the...
49ers one.
The 49ers in Miami game, wasn't he? Yeah, he was here for that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was, because I'm pretty... There was a... Oh, no, that was the other Super Bowl, where he ran a corner out, like, second right of the play, but didn't...
So that was the...
That was the Bucs one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he was there for that one, which was the year after. So I'd imagine he... I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Either way, I'm sure...
My point is, three-time Super Bowl winning Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
yeah, call it a day now, son. You've done your job.
There's like... I mean, Blake Bell's probably got like Super Bowl rings as well. It didn't really make any sense, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, but these guys are all important. They all... have a role to play, you know. Not everyone's Patrick Mahomes. They can't all go out and win games for you.
You're not wrong.
So we're, what are we, the 27th of March day. We're about a month from the draft.
Oh, in other news, Neil, do you not want MVS back? Where's MVS? Has he signed anywhere now?
He has not signed anywhere, and no, I don't.
I was going to say, just you're all for getting all these ring winners back. You can have MVS and Hardman back, probably for about £5 at the moment.
I mean, I go back to my stock phrase for Mecole Hardman, which is he has a skill set you can use. if they wanted to bring Hardman back on veteran minimum to compete for a place as wide receiver six.
All money. It's all money, isn't it? It's literally all money. For the right price.
Yeah, I mean, anyone is... You would take them for the right price, but...
It's like all these people that you've slagged, like, that, I'm going to say me personally, I'm going to throw you in. All these people are slagged off. It's like, yeah, I'd have them back. Yeah, I'd have them back.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire
entered the chat. You can do my idiom for another year. It's absolutely fine. As long as you don't really get paid for it, it's kind of okay. But, yeah.
Veteran minimum.
I'd take Clyde back, yeah. I actually would as well, which is the worst thing.
I said the same thing this morning in a WhatsApp chat. I was like, yeah. Someone said, yeah, Clyde back is running back too. I was like, I kind of agree with that, and I don't want to, but here we are. So I suppose the big moves of the offseason we've made then, Chris Jones got a shit ton of money, and L'Jarius Sneed got a shit ton of money somewhere else. Comfortable with giving Chris Jones some money and not Sneed?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you can't lose Chris Jones because then all of a sudden I think you've got, I mean, a flipping heck. Look at the D-line at the moment. I think Felix is our starting edge at the moment. So if you take Chris Jones out of that, I am scared. So had to happen. If you take Sneed out, you've got McDuffie, Williams, Watson, Connor, Nazi Johnson. The list is endless. So you've done the right thing. Depth. The only thing that Sneed had going for him was he was younger, but even then he's not that young. So I don't know. These moves don't usually work out at cornerback as well. So kind of cool with it, to be honest.
Could he do a JC Jackson and just go there for a year and then come back after the Titans cut him? Playing him in a system that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we should go and get JC Jackson. Still out there, free agent.
He is still out there.
I'd take a flyer on him, even if it's just a camp guy. I don't know, why not?
Veteran minimum. That's our phrase of the day.
Only deal in veteran minimums. We signed Chris Jones to the league. Only deal in veteran minimums now.
Well, but we have like 20 odd, 25 million, 26 million in cap space.
Yeah.
there's room to do stuff there. I think the problem is
probably need to build a new practice facility with that. Well,
yeah, Clark, if you listen to this, just get your fucking wallet out. You've got enough. Billionaires don't become billionaires by spending their own money. I'll tell you that much.
No.
Actually, I wonder how the
vote went today. Yeah, I don't care anymore.
I'm going on Twitter to find out if Arrowhead is still.
This affects me like the least out of everybody, so it's just wild, isn't it? But how they've managed to finish 31st out of 32 in a when you've won the Super Bowl three times the last 5 years is pretty, pretty incredible.
It looks like they're staying at Arrowhead, unless I'm misreading that.
I'd be absolutely shocked if that vote didn't go through. But we're basically talking about the vote to keep Arrowhead there for, what is it, 25 years?
This vote's for. Yeah. Actually, so, I don't think
it doesn't really matter, does it, at the moment?
Well, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it, I'll put it that way.
I didn't get a vote, did I?
No, neither did I. No. And if the Chiefs are playing at Arrowhead or if the Chiefs are playing somewhere else in Kansas or downtown or wherever it happens to be, I'd still want to go. Like,
I think this isn't our fight. I think this is a your hometown historic thing for the locals, and I totally understand that, and I'm with them. I hope they win. I think, but yeah, it's a fight for other people rather than me. I hope they stay where they are, though. I think there's something historic about it, and
yeah.
Either way, we've still got our $20 million to spend in free agency on.
Am I right in thinking you're considering going over this season? Do I remember that?
Yeah. So yes, but it depends really for me on whether I think there's rumblings of Germany again. So I'd probably just try and do that again, to be totally honest. And then
there's rumblings of Germany, but I haven't seen anyone credible with sources backing it up.
I'm just gonna wait and see. We've got a nice little holiday booked in the Canary Islands, so that'll probably do me for this year. And then I don't know. We'll see when football time comes around, whether it's a decision or maybe we do it next year. I think more likely. I'd like to do it in a big group, to be totally honest, to be shown around and all that.
Do the stadium tour and everything.
Yeah.
Get to wear another Super Bowl ring.
Be cool.
Yeah.
We have four by then.
Yeah, that's a good point we made. Yeah.
One for each finger.
You can never have enough Super Bowl rings.
Thumbs up with my thumb.
Those things are so heavy. Because when we were over for the Raiders game in 22, for anyone who doesn't know, we got a stadium tour and we had like our own private tour. And Mike did the tour, and he was a long time equipment manager. And it was fascinating going around the building because he knew everybody. Like, he would walk past someone, right, Mike, right, Bob, right, Mike, right, John. It's just like stream of people. Yeah, he knew all of them. But he brought his Super Bowl ring for us to all try on. And he also had his the AFC Championship ring from when we lost to the Bengals, which I didn't even know they got a ring for losing in the AFC Championship game until then. But hey, I got to wear it as well. but he gave us the Super Bowl ring and we could all try it on and take pictures with it. And he was like, my one request is don't drop it. Mm. Like, it's insured for quite a substantial amount of money, but I would rather not be claiming on that insurance. So, you know, try it on, pass it round, but just please take care. And I was like, I would not be doing this if I was in your situation whatsoever.
No. Wild.
But stadium tour, awesome. Loved it.
Yeah,
like we got everywhere.
It's gonna be done, doesn't it?
Yeah, we were up in the press box. We were down in the locker rooms. We were on the pitch. In fact, that's down on the pitch during the stadium tour was where we found out that we were playing in Germany. Because we were talking to the head groundsman, and he was saying, oh yeah, we've sent like advanced parties over to Germany to check out the facilities and check out the pitches and see what we need to do for the games. And we're like, OK, okay, sound. That's sorted then. So yeah, that's how we learnt that we were playing. Although I think he thought it was Munich at the time, and it turned out to be Frankfurt in the end. But yeah, that's
it's so funny because I mean, if anyone can't tell already, we basically don't have a rundown for this. We're just going to chat waffle for a lot.
No, we're just waffling. Absolutely,
we will talk about free agency in a minute. But the just randomly on YouTube, the Chiefs Dolphins from Germany highlights came up, and that fumble on Tyreek Hill couldn't have been any more perfect. And then the lateral to Brian Cook, that play isn't talked about enough as one of the best plays I've ever seen, full stop. Like, it's incredible, that play is, like, skill wise on so many levels by like three players at the same time.
I just happened to record that play as well from our seats.
I know, man. Wild.
And
my
commentary on the reaction, because I said it to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, and he was like, "You have to let me retweet this." And so he tweets it out, and he's like, "Contains not suitable for work language. Lots of not suitable for work language."
It makes me wonder, because I was stood next to you. It makes me wonder what I was doing. I must have just gone. I think I ran with Brian Cook like halfway down the aisle, because I thought, look, I'm sure you'd have heard me if I was there. I don't know where I was. But, oh, brilliant moment.
Highlight of the season. At least one of the highlights of the season, anyway. Mm. Apart from winning the Super Bowl, obviously, in the last second of overtime. Probably a second best thing that happened in the season then.
Yeah. True that.
So should we talk free agency? We were gonna one thing we did vaguely just talk about before we started recording was naming your three free agents that are available who you'd like to sign.
Mm-hmm. That aren't or that haven't played for the Chiefs.
So haven't played for the Chiefs. Because like
Dana, re-signing essentially.
Mike Dana, Donovan Smith, I would have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I would like, probably have back.
You can have Ogba if you really want to, but that's really boring.
No, he wasn't on my list, no.
That's good, because he's not on mine either.
I can't remember who was on my list. Now, do you want to go first while I think about who was on my list?
We'll probably do... Well, I can do if you really haven't got the list.
Should we alternate?
Yeah, I was thinking alternate.
Okay, you go first.
Surprise, I'm going wide receiver.
Okay.
Which is why I want to do the draft first, because then I don't know if we've got a wide receiver. I don't trust the Chiefs to get a wide receiver in the draft. Just saying, there's no way they're going to pick a wide receiver in the first round because it's sexy and the Chiefs don't do sexy first round picks. I'm going to stay up till 4 a.m. They're going to pick a lineman. Don't know which side of the ball, it's an lineman.
Trade down to pick like 35.
And you're going to fucking like it. That's what's going to happen. We're not trading up or staying where we are for a wide receiver. Even if Xavier Worthy's there at 32, they're going to make me cry into my soul and pick the Tsungalava left tackle dude. I don't freaking know. So all that
is Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy, your guy this year? Is he your Rushy Rice?
Not really. Just like a guy that can run quick. I think they could use him. To be honest,
that's reason. I can understand that.
Yeah, I also like that the Coleman dude that's supposed to be there. He's supposed to be good.
Keon Coleman. Yeah.
Wouldn't know. Haven't watched college football. We'll watch 2 minute highlights a week before the draft to decide who I like.
Hey, so it worked for Rushy Rice.
It did. So the guy I'm going to go for now, just dependent. If they do want to go for a wide receiver in the first round, then sweet, don't bother doing this. DJ Chark, I've wanted him for like 3 years. Don't know why.
Okay.
He plays on the outside. He's tall. He's like 6'3", I think. In his rookie year, I think the Chiefs played the Jags. I think Mecole Hardman had a really good game actually in that game. But he looked really good. And I really like the kind of player he is, play on the outside. And he's got a bit of height, which we need. He's also got 32-inch arms, so he could play tackle at a pinch for the Chiefs. but yeah, positional flexibility there. But no, just DJ Chark. I like him. I think we could just do another veteran. And I'm quite glad that Josh Reynolds has gone to the Broncos, because everyone loves him and I don't.
I wouldn't have hated Josh Reynolds at all on a relatively reasonable deal.
Yeah, I just don't really like him for some reason.
I do have a wide receiver on my list of three, but I'm not going to put him up first.
Okay.
I'll hold him back for now.
Oh, that wasn't my first choice, though, to be totally honest. Okay. So go on. You go. I just go and read it out in order, though. Just go for it. You can go wide receiver if you want, just to have that comparison.
Well, okay, I'll go with him with wide receiver. So I'm going to go with Michael Gallup from Dallas. Okay. It feels like he's been around for a long time, but he's only 28, so he's not that old. He's decent. I mean, looking at the list of wide receivers, there's no like superstars there as such, I don't think, or at least not anymore.
No.
He's got a bit of mileage on the legs, but not too much. He has had a 1,000-yard season in the past. He's been relatively healthy the past couple of years.
And he's not. We don't have to rely on him here. This isn't a guy that we need to come in and be. No. So
he's not wide receiver.
You just want a dude that's reliable that can make a play here or there, which is the same kind of thought I've got with DJ Chark. So yeah, makes total sense, right?
To me, it did in my head.
I didn't even know he was a free agent, to be totally honest.
I did once. I looked at SpotRack and searched by available free agents.
So that's actually quite surprising to me, because I thought he'd actually have gone somewhere by now.
No, it's still there.
Just the fact that he played for the Cowboys more than anything as well, because he's the sort of guy that would have a lot of eyes on him just because he played for the Cowboys. So I'm quite surprised that he's still there, actually. So I wouldn't be averse to that either.
There's quite a lengthy list of... There's 39 wide receivers still available, including Mecole Hardman and Richie James and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Super Bowl winners there for you. You could have a Super Bowl winning wide receiver court there. 1,000 yards between them, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, who's your number two?
Mekhi Becton.
Tackle from the Jets.
Gets a tackle. I think the Jets are a shockingly run organisation, so it doesn't surprise me that he hasn't succeeded there. I think one of those former first-round flyers again that
He's only 24 years old.
I think he's actually visited the Bengals as well recently, and then he came away without a deal, which is surprising. If I'm the Chiefs, I don't know what I'm missing. I'm not an O-line expert by any means. But for him to go that high in the draft, to be that highly rated, to now just a free agent with no interest, boggles my head. It's a position of need. He's 24. You can get him on a decent contract for like, you could probably sign him to, I don't know, you probably wouldn't want to sign him to a too long deal. But if you sign him to a 2-year cheapish deal, I'm not even saying vet minimum. I'm saying throw an extra couple of dollars on top and secure him for 2 years. If you've got to pay him, it's gone very well.
I think that my issue with him is like his weight, and that He is frequently overweight, like beyond playing weight kind of weight. And if you had someone,
that might be the reason that he's still there, in which case then you don't sign him, which is probably what's happening. But I think he's worth a shot.
I agree that we need a veteran tackle.
But you can bring Donovan Smith in as well, and just have a camp battle if you want. Just bring him in 1 year, have a look.
Yeah, I think my issue with the tackles is I don't particularly love the idea of any of them.
Donovan Smith did all right last year.
Yeah, he was okay.
Okay, was good enough though. I get it. If you can improve it, if you can improve it, that's absolutely fine. But I do think there's a chance that you could bring him in pretty cheap and then see what happens. I mean, if it's, I don't know, it's one of those, isn't it? If it's him or Donovan Smith, then you just bring Donovan Smith because you know he's playable. Like, there is kind of like a high floor, a low floor, high ceiling with Mekhi Becton. The ceiling's probably higher than a Donovan Smith, don't get me wrong, but the floor's probably a lot lower. And it's probably, I think the Chiefs have become very high floor sort of team rather than high ceiling. So I get it. It's a flyer, but I'd like to see him bought in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the idea because of his age, because he's an ex-first round pick. But I don't know.
Is what it is. You're not going to like my last one if you don't like that one.
We'll see. My second one. I'm kind of torn between two here, and I don't know which one to go for because they're not my third one. My third one is set in stone, and this is kind of a coin toss here. But it's on the D line, and I'm either Taye Tate or Yannick Ngakoue, and I don't know which of the two I would prefer. I think
I know pretty much nothing about either of them. I know who they are. And Ngakoue's got a very good kind of NFL reputation. And Tart is the dude from the 49ers, right?
He was, yeah. And then he was at Houston.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
he was at the Titans. He was at the Titans, and then he was in Houston.
Okay, so he was at the 49ers ages ago. Shows how much I know about him.
Big old defensive tackle. Put him next to Chris Jones. Let the two of them wreak havoc.
I think they've kind of covered the defensive tackle for now. I think they're going to stop gap it until Amenahu's back. Ngakoue's more of an edge, right?
Yeah, I mean, Ngakoue's one of those ones where you could kind of like... Exactly, yeah. Positional versatility, you know... Play him a bit on the outside, play him a bit on the inside. Like, you could make use of him. Like, Spags, you know, I've got my In Spags We Trust t-shirt, or In Spags We Trust in this case, t-shirt on. But, yeah, I would trust Spags to get use out of him, certainly. Again, at a reasonable price. He's 28, I think, is Ngakoue.
That's surprisingly young for Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, he is. He's 28. Yeah,
that's actually like he's got some years left, hasn't he? That's crazy.
You could probably get a couple of years. You know, if you got him a 2 or 3 year deal. Yeah. He's got 69 career sacks. Like,
I always find it weird with guys like that though, because he's bounced around a bit.
He had 4 years in Jacksonville, a year in Baltimore, a year in Vegas, a year in Indianapolis, a year in Chicago.
How weird.
And yet his last 4 years sack totals have been 8, 10, 9.5, and 4. Last year was his worst year for sacks, although the Bears went, you know, great. And he only played in 13 games as well.
Yeah.
That's
a good show. I'd go Ngakoue over Tart, but yeah, like it.
Yeah, I think that there's uses you could make for him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go with your number three.
Another kind of first-round flyer that's been absolutely useless, Isaiah Simmons. We've lost Willie Gay, and if we were to get another injury at linebacker, who's playing at the moment, do we know? I can't even think of who'd be playing. So I've just gone for the crazy athletic dude that the Chiefs use their linebackers in kind of specific roles, and I'm sure they could find a way to use a dude that's that athletic. I think he's kind of like a replacement.
He was the one who was like, they didn't know whether he was a safety or a linebacker when he was drafted, wasn't he?
How can that be a bad thing if you think dude's athletic enough to be a safety, throw him at linebacker? I mean, man, I'd give it a go. And
in specs we trust.
Yeah. He'll find a role for him. Yeah. Find a role for him, yeah. But the thing is, you're taking players.
25 as well.
Exactly. I'm just taking young people, man. Like, it's getting a bit weird over here. But you got to take the guys. Becton's come from a shockingly run franchise, and Simmons is coming from the same.
True.
And teams that aren't winning teams, you put them on winning teams, and all of a sudden they're a piece. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's no surprise to me that... Yeah, I know Tranquil was a good player before coming to KC, but he's like elevated on a good team. Like, I don't know. It could be a luxury, you know, one of them luxury players you have in football, but they're all right if they're on a good team. That like could be a dude like that. I don't know.
And then, I like that one. I like that one more than the previous one.
I might just change Becton to JC Jackson then.
So my third one, I'm going with the young guy as well, and one who was just cleared from injury the other day, and that's JK Dobbins, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
He averages like 5.8 yards a carry or something stupid like that.
He was electric the first year when Lamar was on a mad one. Was that his first MVP season that Dobbins was a rookie and he was really, really good?
It could well have been, yeah. Yeah, he had 805 yards on 134 carries.
You like a dude that can run when the other team know you're going to run as well?
Yes, absolutely, because yes.
That suggests he'd be okay in the Chiefs system when they're not really defending the run. So, yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, he has had 234 career attempts and he is averaging 5.8 yards a carry.
Yeah, I take it.
Like I would be in on that. And as a nice kind of 1-2 punch with Pacheco and looking at SpotRack here, his calculated market value is 2.1 million average annual salary. I would sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Make teams respect the run game, as well as that kind of helps to open things up for the passing as well. If you can't just sit back and defend Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy deep or whoever we happen to pick up in the first round of the draft. Mm-hmm. Well, left tackle don't tend to run deep very often, but you never know.
Never know.
Andy can scheme anyone open. Andy lining up the six linemen and then sending him deep. That would shock me in the slightest. So I like the idea of Dobbins, I must say.
It's good. So basically, though, none of the guys that we've mentioned are 10 million plus dollar players. So they're all just little moves, aren't they? So the Chiefs have essentially cleared 19 million to re-sign their own guys and make little moves, isn't it, really? Like,
yeah, but I mean, you look at how successful the Tranquil move was last year, and that wasn't a big move. Like, you don't have to spend 20 million on a guard to make a splash in free agency. You want to get the right players that fit in your system at the right price.
And I'd almost say don't do it, because I feel like you always get burnt. Like, free agency is not a good place to build your roster. Like, you've seen it so many times before. The reason the Chiefs are still successful is because they drafted well, not because they did well in free agency.
Yes.
Like, the Bills are suffering for that now, big time. And the other thing is as well, if you bring a guy in on a cheap deal and he earns a contract with you, sound, because great. you know he works in the system. I look at every single move that was made in free agency at wide receiver. No one can tell me the Chiefs didn't get the best value. I'm not saying they necessarily got the best player. I think they actually did get the best player for them. But out of all those free agents, the Chiefs deal is just far and away the best deal, in my opinion. I can't tell you how buzzed I am by Hollywood Brown. He's the one I wanted going in. He's literally the only one I wanted going in. I'm so happy.
I wanted a healthy body that can catch.
He can catch.
Like I wasn't particularly worried about who it was. That I did feel they needed to bring somebody in, and Hollywood Brown's as good as anyone who was available, I think. I think the thing that kind of makes it a better deal for me is that the price tag isn't like particularly big at all. It's what, $8 million or something like that?
Well, like, I think it's 7 and then 11 with
incentives.
Like extra, yeah. He's got made off 1,000 yards, something, yeah.
So, honestly, I mean, essentially.
But you look, would you prefer that or would you prefer the Calvin Ridley deal? No, thank you.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Do you know
what
I mean? They've made. I know people aren't like major excited that we haven't spent all the money, but you can get yourself in a bit of a hole doing that as well. I'd rather have players that you know are going to perform on your roster. Like, if Marquise Brown doesn't do anything next year or he's awful, you just go into the season. Like, you get your money back, obviously not for what you paid out, but the next year, it's not like we owe him anything. Like, I like these sort
get
of deals.
Get a comp pick.
Yeah, I like these sort of deals, and we'll have another third round pick to use next year.
As he picks up $20 million a year from the Jags or something like that.
Yeah,
I think I can see that happening.
I'm actually really happy with the off season so far. I'm not gonna lie, I just wanted Hollywood Brown going into free agency, and I'm delighted they got him. They've got someone that's usable. Offensive Chiefs. We've seen the Chiefs win the Super Bowl as an offensive team and a defensive team. The offensive team's more fun, man. Spend some. Make the offense great again. Do what they've got to do. Make the offense great again. They spent years and years pouring picks into the defense, man. I'm so bored. Just put some freaking assets into the offense, please.
I think the thing with the defense is that defensive like production is a lot more volatile from year to year than offensive production. Mm. And we were really good last year, but that's no real guarantee that we're going to be really good this coming year. Whereas with the offense, as long as you've got Patrick, then your floor is set pretty high anyway. So
yeah. And I get what they've tried to do. They've tried to raise the floor of the defense, and they've done that.
Honestly, without
that defense, we don't win a Super Bowl. But there's not going to be... I know it's volatile, but at the same time, I don't think... really the Chiefs need to do anything crazy on the defense. Like, yeah, maybe we need, but nothing that you can't address in free agency, like with what's left over. You can get yourself a veteran defensive end and bring Felix along, and the cornerbacks, to be honest, I think you could go in tomorrow and you'd be all right. Like, if you want to add another body to the room, fine. But on the offense, just keep taking swings, man. Don't leave Pat like this year frustrated, and just give him everything he needs to succeed.
Was it Duncan who would say, sorry, lost my voice here for a second. Was it Duncan who was saying we should just draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds every year?
Yeah, and I agree with him, except I'd just say in the top 100. Just draft a wide receiver in the top 100 every year until we find a dude, because Rashi Rice is a dude. But the thing with Rashi, I'm literally his biggest fan, but I still think you need to put him in a position to succeed. I'm not sure how many times he's going to win, so to speak. I think he's going to be very good at what he does. We need someone that's just going to win occasionally, like win a rep here and there. And I know he can do it, but you want a dude that's going to beat someone off the line, beat press, and I'm not saying he can't do any of this, but you need to find another superstar, essentially, and the only way you do that is by taking swings.
Yeah, I agree.
Or trade for Brandon Ayuk, which I'm sure the 49ers won't trade with us, but...
I would still just go with the taking swings, and I'm trying to trade for Ayuk.
Yeah. I think
for the price that it would cost...
Unbelievable, but... it's the pain twice, isn't it? It's the pain, yes. And then it's off. It's
and that's why the Sneed compensation wasn't what people
100%.
Hoped it was going to be, because you've got to consider they're going to have to pay him 80 million roughly, give or take a couple of quid. And so you kind of go, we're not giving up that much.
Yeah. And that's why I wouldn't do, like, we kind of, you have the Frank Clark argument too blue in the face, but we paid twice for Frank Clark, and, you know, you never
got a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Player Frank Clark.
But that's the thing, like, overall, like, his level of play wasn't great until it needed to be, and then it was. So it's one of them weird ones, but you wouldn't want to do that again. You wouldn't want to do it again.
Marquez Scantling entered the chat.
Yeah. But you wouldn't want to do it again, because you've been burnt by it before. And I do think you just take swings. Brandon Ayuk would be unbelievable. I don't think they're going to trade to him. I think he's going to be too expensive. All that sort of stuff. But
well, you want to find the next Brandon Ayuk,
yeah,
then, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
That's
do.
What you're looking for.
That's exactly what you want to do. And I don't think there's any harm in trying to draft a wide receiver in the first three rounds every year. Why not? Even if it's a third round, you just take a flyer on a guy that's traitsy. It's like, we found Chris Jones in the, was it second round we found Chris Jones or third
second,
round?
Yeah, second.
But, you know, you can find superstar players anywhere in the draft. It's worth just keep taking shots, man.
It's a lottery. You just need as many tickets as you can get.
Yeah. 100%.
Basically.
I just wish they could have got that second round pick for Sneed.
Yeah, but we've got 2/3 next year. 2/3.
Yes, can't wait. And we're early.
Bring
on
it on. The Titans are going to stink, and we're going to be picking about 70.
That is the only thing about that third round pick. I obviously wish it was this year, but at least you just got to hope they're garbage, man. Because then you can talk yourself into it being a second round pick.
High third, but it's kind of the same as a late second.
Yeah. Ah,
but then it's your ammunition to trade up if you want. Like, you know, if you want to toss.
I'm guessing that doesn't get us very far this year, though. I guess because I've heard this a lot this week, where people have been like, "Oh, you can use that third to trade up," and I was like, I can't tell if they're talking about next year or if they're talking about this year. Because next year, this year, I swear it's going to get you up like two spots. In the first round,
a future third is like considered a fourth,
yeah.
This year, so it's not, like knock a round off for whatever future pick you're trying to trade.
And a first and a fourth isn't really getting you much higher in the first round. Like maybe you can move up in the second a bit.
Am I that fussed about moving up in the second? Once you get into the mid-60s,
yeah,
because
what they're going to do, they're going to take a D lineman and then they're going to move up mid-second round to draft Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, I can see a case for that, yeah.
Mm.
Although I think someone will just take a flyer on Worthy just because he's so fucking quick.
Do you know what I find really weird, right? Everyone wants to put the big... So, like, that Coleman, for example... Everyone wants to put him on the Chiefs because they want Patrick Mahomes to have this big outside wide receiver threat.
Yep.
And I get it to a point. I get the logic, but Pat's never really thrown many 50-50 balls.
He throws to the open guy.
Exactly. So we've seen it work with lots of fast people. Get more fast people. Like, that's why I think they should go and get Xavier Worthy if that's the choice. I'm not going to say should, because I literally have never seen him even run a route at this point. But if he's capable of running routes and he can create separation, which you'd like to think considering how quick he bloody runs, then, and it doesn't have to be him either, just go and get the chief stereotype wide receiver that works. Do you get what I mean? Like, I don't think you have to change the formula. You could have gone got Mike Williams. We didn't. So, does that not kind of...
Yeah, I think the thing about Worthy, the kind of the downside to... The two things I've heard about him are that he tends to be a body catcher rather than a hands catcher, which is an issue. And he only weighs about 165 pounds, so he's a really light dude. Yeah. And that is a bit too light. I mean, yes, he's quick and they've got to get their hands on him, but like,
do you know what though? I've seen Devontae Smith and Zay Flowers do absolutely fine. So I'm not really buying into that anymore, if I'm totally honest. I think wide receivers are protected more than they were in the past as well. So I'm not major concerned by that. And plus, they do that cheat thing in the NFL now anyway, where they motion a guy and then snap the ball and he's running upfield anyway. So I think there's ways you can get these guys.
Andy
involved.
Can scheme anyone up. Anyone can get a free release with Andy that he wants.
100%.
And then if you're quick enough to run away from guys, great.
Well, exactly.
Right. How the hell did we make 50 minutes and 21 seconds out of that?
I know. And we've got all the draft talk to come. I've got to start watching some drafty people.
For everyone who's managed to stay with us this long, don't know how the hell you managed that. Fair play to you. You're doing God's work there. That's all I can say. We do have draft talk to come. We haven't even talked about doing the live mock yet, which we will have to do at some stage. I do have...
It's come around so quick this year.
It has actually, yeah.
I think it helps going to another Super Bowl that ends in February, but yes. it is, what, a month away?
Less than that,
pretty much to the week, a month away. That is crazy.
I have the big board done, I think. Mm-hmm. It might be a few refinements here or there.
Should be in. We're very much getting into the podcast mock draft territory as well, aren't we? So
yes, yeah, absolutely.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
We only really do one, so we'll do it later, I'd imagine, like maybe a week before the draft or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'd say the week before the draft. Yeah. We'll probably do the
seems
live
to be
mock.
A sweet spot, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing with the live mock that we do is that we only get one go at it because hey, it's trying to recreate the draft to an extent, and so the board falls how the board falls, and we'll see what we come out with at the end of it. We did pick Felix last year. I do have last year's players actually.
Just around later than everyone.
We had him at the end of the set. We had Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle who went to the Bears in the first round. We had Felix who went to us in the second. We had Jonathan Mingo in the third who went to the Panthers and had a decent season with
them. Jonathan Mingo is a good player. Yeah,
yeah, I liked him. We had Bryce Ford Wheaton who didn't get drafted. we had Carl Brooks who was a defensive tackle at the Packers and he did very well. He had a good season. We had Tarji Spears, running back who went to the Titans. He kept Derrick Henry on the sidelines for a chunk of the season. We had Daniel Scott of the Colts. I have no idea what he did, and the less said about the last three the better.
Seen or heard from again.
No, but I mean, their picks 217, 249, and 250. So if you're hitting on those, then you're doing well. Yeah. But
so you're not expecting much from that pick swap.
No,
if we
had Darnell Wright, Felix, Jonathan Mingo, Carl Brooks, and Tarji Spears out of last year's draft,
it'd been an unbelievable draft.
You'd have gone. That you'd have been pretty happy with that. That would have been a reasonable draft, definitely.
The only thing about that is you wouldn't have got Rashee Rice.
This is true, yes.
I mean, we would have if you'd listened to me, but...
Well, yeah, if we'd listened to it, I believe we did have that conversation at the end of the second round, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then Rashee wouldn't have had...
still there.
Yeah.
Then wouldn't have
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I wonder
right. Will that do us for now? I think it will.
I think we're done.
I think we're done. We will be back at some stage. Who knows when?
Probably a couple of weeks.
Probably not next week. Probably the week after. And then mock draft week or two after that, probably. As I try to pull up my calendar and it doesn't want to work. There we go. 2, 3. Yeah. 2 weeks and then 2 weeks. Probably something like that. It'll appear in your feeds on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. Right, Tom, man. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Same to you.
Yeah. Everyone, thanks for listening. I don't know how you made it through this, if you did.
I don't think anyone's still here.
Fair play to you. Whoever you are, can the last person just switch off the lights as they leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations to anyone who managed to listen to his waffle for this long. That was very impressive performance by you. You are the MVPs. You really are, people. Right, that'll do us. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks' time. We'll say from one kingdom to another, goodbye for now.